Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, today.
And this is Coach Jen, also in Ocala, Florida. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 30th, 2013, episode 583.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done, the downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, it is Wednesday, and it is hump day, and Jamie is not here because she texted in sick. I got a message from her last night by text that said that she got the flu. So, and she said, she said it really sucks too, because when you're pregnant, you can't take any medicine. So
this seems new to me. I don't remember new moms being on such an incredibly restrictive, you can't take anything.
I know. Jamie seems to think that, but I don't know. Maybe that's what her doctor's telling her.
We're not tuned into the baby community, so.
That's true. Yeah, we never had kids ourselves, so when it comes to kids, I try and stay out of the conversation. she basically said she would get back to us this morning if she could do it, but it didn't sound good, and we have not heard from her, so I think she's probably comatose at this point. Most of the hosts here on the Horse Radio Network have been sick over the last couple of weeks, so we definitely have had our share of it. We're just praying, Jennifer and I, that we don't get sick from our little trip to Philadelphia and meeting all of those people, which is when you usually get it. So
there was a lot of handshaking, and
We're hoping we don't get the trade fair flu. That's what we're hoping.
Trade
anyway.
Fair flu.
Hey, there's somebody that wishes she had the flu. Did you see that video I posted on Facebook yesterday on our Horses in the Morning page?
Oh, my gosh. That was, you know, it was, I found myself rooting for him, I must say.
Yeah, I know. This is a video that I came across yesterday, and I posted it. And I don't know whether this is true or he made it up and did this, but if he did, he trashed a perfectly good car doing it. What it was, let me set it up a little, and I have the audio from this video. You have to go watch the video, though, at Horses in the Morning's Facebook page. Just search for Horses in the Morning. But this guy in England apparently discovered, and how he discovered his wife was on this page is a good question, too, by the way. But he discovered that his wife was on a dating site called Kissing Gates or something. It's a rural dating site for rural people, for farmers and things like that. So he discovered that she was on this site and had her own profile page, and he decided to do something about it. And when you're going to hear the noise after he talks in the beginning, you're going to hear a noise. That is him getting in his tractor that has a big front end loader on it and proceeding to, well, we'll tell you about it as the audio goes on. Let's take a listen to it. Let me find it here. Here we go.
So I was just checking my emails, and Becky, my wife, had left her email open. There's one from kissinggates.com, some sort of rural dating site. I thought, that's a bit strange. So I signed in, here's the profile, Becky Jones, 37. There she is, beautiful. And I went down, and it says, oh yeah, she's married, fantastic. I read her profile. I have a confession to make. My husband doesn't know I'm on here. Well, I do now, darling. He's been married for 5 years, and he's a complete idiot and completely crazy. Love two things in my life, my horses and my convertible Peugeot. Unfortunately for you, I have the keys to your lovely convertible Peugeot. Let's see how crazy I am.
bit with the door spreader.
So just pick up some of your favorite horse up here and we'll see what we can do with that. So here you go. About to get around to see the beautiful Peugeot. Happy Valentine's Day.
So he takes an entire scoop of manure out of the manure pile of his horse, who apparently she likes much better than her husband. And he opened up the top of the beautiful red convertible Peugeot, or whatever he calls it, and proceeds to dump the entire load into the car.
It was the good, stinky, steamy kind of manure pile. Yeah, not just any old manure pile.
Oh, she really threw him under the bus in that ad. She didn't just come out and say, I'm married and I'm unhappy. She said, my husband's an idiot. You know? and now we know how he found it, is she left her email open.
So who's the idiot now?
Yeah, and if you take a look at the video, and he actually is videotaping his computer screen with the ad. She is naked, laying over her horse. Sitting on her horse, you've seen that shot sometimes, where she's laying over his mane and neck, so you can't really see anything, but she's naked in the picture.
Really?
So, there
Who
you
took
go.
The picture?
I don't know.
Who took the picture? That's what I want to know.
So, my guess is they're not still together at this point. That's my guess.
Probably not.
No. Check it out at Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Okay, Jennifer, what's coming up? We have a lot of things today.
Yes, on today's show, we are just happy to be here, Wednesday edition, another Kickstart project headlined with Ben Masters, who, along with a few friends, took a 3,000-mile trail ride, and now they're trying to get the funding together to make a documentary about that amazing adventure. And next up, our regular Wednesday adventure across the pond with the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer, who stops by with some fodder for frittering away some of your spare time. And last but certainly not least, thehorse.com returns with a piece I like to call The Hippocratic Oath for Horse Owners. And in anticipation of the latest incarnation of the Lone Ranger coming up this summer, on this day in 1933, the original radio series debuted on Get These Calls call letters, WXYZ in Detroit. I had to look that up twice. I thought they made that up.
Apparently there is. I wonder if is it still there, WXYZ in Detroit?
You know, I didn't click on the link to see. But
all right, time for Daily Winnings. I have two. My first Daily Winnie goes out to a Texas collector, and I don't have his name, so it's an anonymous Daily Winnie today. He just bought at an auction, at the High Noon auction, he just bought the most expensive saddle in the world. It was a saddle, a Western saddle, that once belonged to Pancho Villa, and it's completely covered in silver. I mean, this thing is very ornate, covered in silver, and it sold at this High Noon auction. He bought it for $625,000, and with the buyer's premium, it totaled $737,000, and apparently this Texas collector says he plans to put it on display in a museum. So Pancho Villa's saddle, $737,000. There you go. Yeah, that's crazy. That's a little more than we've paid for our saddles. That might even be more than Jamie paid for hers. My second Daily Winnie goes to, and I'm not going to give any spoilers away here. I'm just going to give her my Daily Winnie. This is to Sybil Crawley from Downton Abbey. That's all. Let's just have a quiet moment. And she was the hottest one on the show, too. I'm so sad. Your turn.
My Daily Winnie goes out to... Hit the button, Glenn. Hit the button. Hit the button. Come on. Get with it. Frankie Lovato. Happy birthday, Frankie, our buddy over there on Jockey World Radio, and the man who is doing 365 days of racing terms. Happy birthday, Frankie.
Yeah, we're going to have, we sponsor one day a week with Frankie's Terminology, and we're going to have this week's for you in just a couple of minutes, but we have some housekeeping things to take care of first. We haven't been, we haven't done a regular show for what seems like forever here. Get your really bad ads in for Friday. The prize is a $25 gift certificate for anything you want to buy from Equestrian Collections, the entire universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips at equestriancollections.com. So that's right. You can buy anything you want for the $25 gift certificate at Equestrian Collections. So get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Do we need some, Jennifer? Are we loaded
we
up?
We do. We're a little slim. You better get with it, people.
Yeah, and, you know, Jamie's going to come back, and she's going to be pissed if there's no ads to read. So
you got to go to Craigslist or other online classy services. The ones that are free are best, because if it's free, people don't put any effort into it.
That's right. Craigslist is a perfect place. It'll only take you a couple minutes to find ads, so go ahead and send them in. Yeah. And how funny would it be if you guys found a couple of ads that had no punctuation for Jamie when she's sick and can barely talk anyway, and then we make her do the ones with no punctuation? I think that's perfect torture. I think that'd be great. Hey, we can say anything we want about Jamie. She's not here. Also, we have a very exciting announcement that coming up in 2 weeks, next Wednesday, not a week from today, but 2 weeks from today, if anybody that listened to the show on Monday heard us spinning the wheel for vendors to win advertising on Monday, well, we do have a wheel now, an official casino wheel, and we are going to start a new thing in 2 weeks where we are going to play a game called the Wheel of Trivia every Wednesday morning, first thing when we start the show. And what it's going to be is you can call in. We're going to ask one trivia question to a caller. If you get that trivia question correct, we're going to spin the wheel for you, and you're going to win a prize. And we got some fantastic prizes that were donated over the weekend when we were at the ADA trade show. And I'm talking, you know, some mighty nice stuff, all the way up to horse blankets and different stuff. And then we're going to have a couple of things on the wheel that are, remember how on, what was that show, The Price is Right? Was it The Price is Right?
No, it's not The Price is Right.
No.
Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal. Remember how they used to have the donkey as the, you
I
know.
I always wanted to win the donkey.
I know. Well, we can't do the donkey because everybody will want the donkey. It's not really a consolation prize if everybody wants it.
We can't ship the donkey.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to ship them, too. So we're going to have some stinker prizes on there, too, so on the wheel. But it'll be fun, and we're going to play. We'll probably – I think we talked about doing it that we'll have to let – we'll play. Do we have two winners on a Wednesday morning? So
We could have multiple winners. It depends on how good at trivia they are, because you're going to have to answer the trivia question.
That's right. I mean, if it takes us 20 minutes to get the trivia question answered, then it depends who makes up the trivia question. If Jennifer's making it up, it could take 20 minutes to get an answer. If we have Jamie make it up, then you'll get it right away. If I make it up, then you're guaranteed to get it within 2 seconds. But that should be fun. We'll spin the wheel. You'll get to hear the wheel spinning and all the different prizes on the wheel every Wednesday morning on the Wheel of Trivia. So look for that coming up in 2 weeks. We'll announce that again. So keep your Wednesday mornings open and be able to call us to play that game. Well, while you get the first guest on the line here, Jennifer, why don't I play the 365-Day Racing Terminology Challenge by Frankie Lovato and Jockey World. They we sponsor one a week with him, and he's kind enough to allow us to do that. So we are going to play for you today, and you are going to learn about something called the bottom. And no, Frankie said it's not what I was thinking about. Apparently, it has nothing to do with that. So here we go.
Hi, this is Jockey World Radio's Britlin Wall, and welcome to Frankie Lovato's 365-Day Racing Terminology Challenge. With this challenge, we aim to bring racing terms to life for you, the fans, every day of 2013. This is in support of Jockey World's mission to improve, promote, and provide more education, health, and safety in the world of horse racing.
This is Jackie Rose Kayla Jarvin, and in this clip, we'd like to thank Horses in the Morning, the favorite morning radio show for horse lovers worldwide. Visit horsesinthemorning.com.
And this is Frankie Lovato with term number 29 of 365, Bottom. Bottom can mean a few things, often referred to the fitness level of a horse. It also can mean the base of a racetrack, which is underneath the surface or cushion of the track. When referring to a horse, a trainer may say something like, "This horse has a lot of bottom," meaning the horse is very fit and ready to run and should not tire. Another common reference to the bottom heard around the racetrack is talking about the track surface. The track surface is made up of a few layers. The bottom, which is usually packed clay or limestone, would be the layer that's just underneath the cushion. The cushion is the very top and softest layer of the track where the horse's hoofs make contact with the track. The bottom is the track's base underneath the track's cushion that keeps the surface consistent for the horses. There is another term you may hear bottom referred to around the track. You may hear someone say something like, "This horse is bred to go long on the bottom." In this instance, bottom is referring to the horse's mother, also known as the dam. In a horse's family tree, also known as their pedigree, the dam is always listed on the bottom and the sires are listed on the top.
For more information, or if you would like to sponsor some of our terminology clips, please email info@jockeyworld.org. You may also be interested in Frankie Lovato's Racing Terminology booklet, which is for sale in the Jockey World store and available at jockeyworld.org. All proceeds go to Jockey World, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
I've been learning so much listening to these things every day, and you can find them all if you just go over to Facebook and search Jockey World Radio. You can like their page, and they post them on there every day. And I just have been learning so much about all the different terminology, things I didn't know about, and Frankie does such a terrific job of explaining it. So we thank him for allowing us to play that here on every Wednesday on the show. Well, Jennifer, you're going to take our first guest.
I am. I would like to welcome to the show Ben Masters, who is associated with, hopefully, an upcoming documentary called Unbranded. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, getting you here on the show was an interesting process. We were Facebook messaging back and forth to each other crazily. So finally, at about 11:30 last night, you confirmed that you were able to come on this morning. And, of course, at 11:30 at night, I'm sound asleep. So I Facebook backed at you at 6 o'clock this morning when normal people are sound asleep. So here we are. Tell our listeners what Unbranded is.
Well, Unbranded is the title for documentary that we're in the process of creating right now. Myself and three coaches of mine, we went up to in Kansas and up to 11 Mustangs from the Bureau of Land Management and process of training them right now, and we're getting them in shape and getting the green out of them and ride them from the Mexican border to the Canadian border here in about a month or so.
So what possessed you you to try and ride a pile of horses from Mexico to Canada? Why would you want to do this?
Well, we're using the Mustangs, because they're really tough, and they're really deep. It's just something we've
all... Kind of like using a Volkswagen Bug for a cross-country drive. Yeah, okay, got it.
And then this is just something that we've always wanted to do, and the timing is right in our life, so we're just good.
Just do it. Now, have you and your compatriots been horsemen, cowboys, outdoors people throughout your lives, or is this some kind of a change-up for you? Is this something that is brand new, or have you been outdoors guys all along?
No, I didn't get really involved into horses until about 5 years ago, and that goes for most of my YouTube. It's one and several opportunities later on in life, when we were 17, 18, we're all in our early 20s. but we didn't really grow up around it. We just took to it and decided to start doing this kind of thing. We've all been packing in the mountains for the past couple summers and falls.
What route are you going to take? Are you going to be going through the west? Or are you going to come more east? You know, how are you going to do it?
Well, yeah, this public land in the United States, and most of it's out in the west. And what we did is we just pieced together the deepest backcountry route that we could find, mainly through national parks and national forests. But it is, it's in the, when you go through Utah, Idaho,
Unfortunately, Ben, I think we have a terrible connection, and you keep breaking up on us. I do want to say that you did a Kickstarter program, and we've talked about Kickstarter programs here on the show before. And I have to, you guys have met your goal with 52 hours to go. You $163,000. When you put up a $150,000 goal, did you think there was any chance you were going to make it?
Well, I was really hoping and praying that my God, it was stressful. That was a great day to watch it roll over 150,000, and it just, you know, these worst people all over the world has put into this is pretty awesome feat.
Yeah, you have 975 backers. That means 975 people have contributed to the making of this documentary. A total right now of $163,126 with 52 hours to go. Congratulations on that. So now it looks like your go. Think about Kickstarter and why Ben said it was so stressful is if they put a goal up of $150,000 and they didn't make the goal, they don't get any money from anybody. So, you know, you made it, and thank God.
Yes, you're not kidding. Thank God indeed. So now the easy part's over, but now the hard part's over and the fun part.
Yeah, now you can make a movie and ride across five states. And I see on here 3,000 miles, 18 wild horses, 6 months, five states, and four men. I noticed there were no women in that. Is there a reason?
Because we were
hoping to meet them. You didn't want that much drama, Ben? Is that what it was?
It was an open invitation for girls to come out and stay with us for a couple days, but
I'm
not
sure.
For 6 months.
So, you know something, though, Glenn, here on the Kickstarter page, and it is still open, there are a few hours left that you can join the fun. If you pledge $10,000 or more, you get to join them on the ride for 7 days in Arizona.
Three good-looking cowboys. I bet you were there any $10,000 pledges? Do you know?
Right now we've got two of them that went through Kickstarter, and then six total.
Wow! Well, congratulations. Well, that's great.
Well, yeah,
this is going to be
fantastic.
Fun. We can't wait to see. We can't wait to see the documentary and film when it comes out. Let us know when it comes out. All right.
Okay, will do. It'll be a ways yet, but I really appreciate you guys helping me out with some publicity on the Kickstarter, because there's still, you know, 60 or so hours and, time to donate. So that means a lot.
When do you actually take off for the ride?
March 15th.
March 15th, okay. And we'll check in. Why don't we, Jennifer? Why don't we make a note to try and check in with them on a regular basis while they're on their ride across the country?
I've got a sneaking suspicion they're going to be in parts of the country that rarely have cell service. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I think whenever we start, I'm going to throw my cell phone away and spend 6 months in the backcountry. So you can try my cell, but good luck.
Good luck, Ben. And if you want to find out more about Ben and the gang and their travels, Jennifer's going to post a link on Facebook. Or if you want to donate, you know, you can donate as $5, $20, The one nice thing, if you donate like $25, you get a DVD, a T-shirt, and you know you get an early release of the video when it comes out. So you know they have different things that you get for the different levels that are on here, and Jennifer's going to post a link to it on Facebook if you want to be part of it. That's called Unbridled, A Story of Mustangs, Western Heritage, Open Spaces, and Hot Girls That Join Cowboys Along the Ride. No, I added that part. That was the part I added. But that's what they're hoping for. So what a good sport. I'm sorry we didn't have a better cell connection, but he was breaking up a good bit there. We're going to be coming up with Victoria Spicer, hopefully here, if she can get through from England, with the Horse and Country European Report. So we're going to be right back after this word from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Glenn here, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This time of year, the mares, the early foals are beginning to arrive. The thoroughbreds that are specifically bred to be foaling in January, sometimes the mares that caught a little bit later in the year, they're foaling now during a cold time of the year. And so you want to have on hand a foal blanket so that if you do have a foal in the cold that you have something you can wrap him up in. The one I'm featuring this week is the Weatherbeta Growing Foal Stable Blanket. And I featured this one because it is so adjustable. It adjusts from 42 inches to 57 inches, which is a lot. So you only need the one. It's 180 grams of polyfill, which is a little bit less than medium weight, so it's really good. It's a stable blanket, so it's for when you're there inside. So it's really good for, you know, a little bit more than lightweight and a little bit less than medium weight. So it's really good for that. And it's a 300 denier, so it's really strong. And it comes from Weatherbeta, which is, of course, a very well-known brand. So I thought that this would be a really good thing for those of you who are expecting winter foals to maybe consider keeping on hand. And it's only $50. So it's a real good safety feature for early spring foaling.
And you can find them at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Weatherbeta Growing Foal Stable Blanket at equestriancollections.com. Thank you to Equestrian Collections. We got to see Chris and her husband over the weekend, and we appreciate them for their continued support here at Horses in the Morning and on the Horse Radio Network. It was fun to catch up with them for a little bit.
Well, the buyers always show up looking happy.
Yes, yes.
Tax shops, and then, it's like
and then looking broke on their way back out.
But, looking broke on their way
the you know, I heard mixed reviews at this particular trade show about, you know, how vendors did, and there were definitely mixed reviews. Some did pretty well, and some said there wasn't a whole as many people as before. I think sadly a lot of smaller tack shops are going out of business, and the industry is still consolidating. You see so many of the smaller ones, your neighborhood tack shops, going out of business, partly because of the internet and the economy and just everything, you know.
Yeah. I think it's still adjusting, but the good part was a high percentage of the buyers that did come were interested in placing orders. And from the point of view of the vendors, the folks making these products, that was a good thing.
Well, there's a good thing that's happening in Texas right now, and the horse involved is Midnight Matador. Midnight Matador is the longest-serving mascot in Texas Tech's program. They have a black horse, always have a black horse that's their mascot for Texas Tech. And this horse, Midnight Matador, served for 10 years. He was the, let's see here, started in 2002 at the age of 3, and has been ridden by many riders throughout the period of time. So, you know, has had many riders, but they unfortunately had in October had to retire Midnight Matador because, you know, he had a sore leg. So They retired him, and now they have found a permanent home, and that is with the 43rd rider mascot, or the masked riders, they call them. And this girl served in the 2004-2005 season. She graduated from Texas Tech in 2005 with a bachelor's degree in agricultural communications. I'm not sure what agricultural communications is. Maybe that's like our radio show. But her name is Stacy Stockard Monsabaz, I guess, something like that. Stacy Stockard Monsabaz, and she will take over this wonderful horse that served for so many years. Apparently, he loved doing this. He would get very excited when he would when it was his time to go out in the field and race around. So he really enjoyed it, and we're happy that he was able to find himself a good home. Also, one other thing that's going on right now is it's time for all the horses that are trying to qualify for the Kentucky Derby coming up here in May. And one of those, and Udi, I got to thank you for pointing this out. Udi Shepherd sent me this. It's an article about a horse, and I think this is going to be my favorite. I think, Jennifer, this might be my favorite horse. It's called, this horse is called It's My Lucky Day. All one word, It's My Lucky Day. And he defeated champion Shanghai Bobby and set a track record at Gulfstream in the process when he won the $400,000 Holy Bull Stakes on January 26th. He's a three-year-old lawyer, Ron Colt, drew clear by two lengths and did very well. So It's My Lucky Day is one to look for here in the Kentucky Derby. He came off an impressive performance in the one-mile Gulfstream Park Derby, which he won by 6 3/4 lengths on January the 1st. This win earned It's My Lucky Day his first 10 points on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And fifth in the ranking right now in the standings, so that's good. Shanghai Bobby was undefeated in five starts in 2011 for Todd Pletcher, and was really looking forward to a continuing career, and has actually won a total of $1.7 million at this point.
That's crazy.
So, I know.
That's just crazy.
Now we have this youngster coming up. It's My Lucky Day. It's one to watch for. And another one to watch for, too, and I think Victoria might be on here, Jennifer. You might want to check that. Another one to watch for, too, is Ciro, a three-year-old colt partly owned by 18-time Olympic champion swimmer Michael Phelps, won the $54,000 third race at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. So this was Phelps' first win, I think. With one of his horses, he invested with a couple of other owners into a couple of horses, and this horse won. They're also looking at this horse. They're trying to qualify this horse for the Kentucky Derby. Phelps and his partner actually attended the Kentucky Derby last year, and he fell in love with it. And he said, "Well, when I retire from racing, I want to get involved with this." So that's this is his attempt to get involved, and it's looking pretty good for Ciro. C-E-R-R-O is another one to watch, but I'm still leaning towards It's My Lucky Day. I really like that name. So we're gonna follow both of them on their travel team.
Yeah. You're highly scientific. It's a good name. Method works as well as any other.
Yeah, and I actually, you remember, I picked the winner last year because of that. So
that's right.
Don't tell me it
so
doesn't work.
In years where the Kentucky Derby winner is a horse with a really cool name.
I'm good. Yeah, and year when it's a bad name or boring name, I'm not going to win. It's just going to be a bad year for me. Well, let's get Victoria Spicer on here from Horse and Country TV with the European Report all the way from jolly old England. Good afternoon, Victoria.
Good afternoon to you both.
Yeah, you have a little bit of a hum. I'll just tell everybody that's because she is calling. We have two cans. We have two soup cans and a string. And we have it traveling across the Atlantic Ocean. And unfortunately, that's what our technology has resorted to today. So, but we can hear you just fine.
Oh, I'm glad to know. I'm sorry for humming across America. That's not what I wanted.
Well, how are you, Victoria, before we get on to the news?
I am very well. The snow has melted in the southeast, at least. And so I've been riding my horse a lot. So I'm very happy.
Well, good. And you were moving into a new flat. Have you done that? Everything's good?
I've escaped to the country. I've now got a little cottage in Surrey, out of London. So, yes, moved in and got the dog unpacked, and the horse is 10 minutes down the road now, so it's perfect. Better than London.
Oh, that's terrific. So now when you do you have to go into a horse and country in London every day? Is that a
No, not at all. I work predominantly from home. I'm still in my job from this morning, so I maybe have to go in about once a month, so not very often.
Wow, that's terrific. That works out great for you.
Definitely.
All right, so what's top riders come to Eventing Forum? So there was an Eventing Forum over there?
It's coming up, actually. It's being held on the 3rd of April, so on Monday. And I have none other than Sir Mark Todd coming to do a show jumping demo. So if you want to be able to jump like Mark, you have to come to Gloucestershire on Monday, which admittedly is quite far for you guys listening in the States, but I'm sure it'll be worth it.
And, I guarantee that's all it's going to take. Come to one Mark Todd clinic and you'll be jumping like him, no problem.
I'd imagine Olympic selection would be guaranteed after one session. So, yes, if you want to be at Rio 2016, come across. But as well as him, there's also Mike Etherington-Smith, who designed the cross-country courses at the last two of the last Olympics. And we've got a top dressage trainer coming to help with the first phase. So a really good day to sit at the beginning of the season and get some top tips and start planning your world domination.
Now, are you going to bring your pony down so you can dominate the world?
I am not. Jenny Riddle, our presenter, is going to go along and do some filming, so you'll be able to catch highlights of the forum on the channel in future. So she's going to go. So Jenny will be winning everything this year, and I won't because I'm not going. So what a mistake.
So tell us about an Olympic horse that was recently sold. Haven't we seen a lot of these Olympic? I think most of them have changed hands since the Olympics, haven't they?
A lot have, but actually the British ones that we thought would be, you know, the ones that would be getting snapped up are the ones that haven't yet been sold. And whether that's, you know, the massive asking price that you can command when you've got an Olympic medalist, I don't know. But we thought it was going to be Velegra or Utopia, our gold medal winning dressage horses that went first. But actually it was our individual horse in the dressage events. He belonged to Richard Davison, or he had the ride anyway. And that horse has been sold to a young Swiss rider. So the first of our dressage horses to officially change hands.
And what was the horse? Which horse was it?
Hiscox Artemis. He did quite well in the World Cup series last year, and he acquitted himself perfectly well in London, although he wasn't part of our gold medal winning team. He was our extra individual. But it's sad to see our top horse going abroad, but hopefully Richard will have success with another Grand Prix horse that he's got in his stable, and we won't have seen the last of him yet.
And so is this horse going to an established rider? Do we know who he's going to?
A young rider called, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but Feline von Bremen, who, she's only 22, and her mum has bought her Artemis. It's a Grand Prix school master, so very lucky girl. I'm waiting for my mum to buy me.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're lining up to buy you an Olympic horse too, right?
Well, I hope so. I'm hoping it's Velegro, and she's saving up her pennies now, but... I live in hope.
And now we always are talking about rescue stories here on the morning show. It seems like every day we come on the air, there's rescue stories from around the world. But this poor one, I'll tell you what, when I looked at the picture on horseandcountry.tv of the dramatic rescue of a mare from a muddy ditch, it looked like something, like that there wasn't even a live creature down there. It was the bizarre picture.
I mean, I'm hoping that the mare only got so muddy when she was actually being rescued and that she wasn't as immersed in the mud and water throughout the night, because basically she was in her field and sheltering from the snow, and apparently she slipped into this ditch. And she's an older mare, she's 21, so not really ideal for her. And she lay there completely stuck in this ditch, and eventually the fire crew managed to get her in out of the ditch and get her inside and dried off, and she seems no worse for the wear for her ordeal. But if you have to look at this picture, it's just incredible that she came out of it alive.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the picture and you would assume the mare was dead. I mean,
yeah.
It
looks like one of those pictures from an archaeological site where they use a paintbrush to brush the dust off the top. It's kind of eerie.
It does indeed, yeah. So,
and it looks like the mare was wearing a blanket or something, too, you know, at the
time.
Yeah,
rug. Yeah, I think she was. So at least she was wrapped up against the cold, but still it was very dangerous for a horse of that age to be stuck in that situation overnight when we've had such freezing temperatures recently. Quite scary and very lucky.
Have you had a wicked winter? We've been up and down. It's been warm and then cold, and then warm and then cold.
We've had a couple of weeks of snow, so the whole country grinds so hot. When you guys have proper snow, or when Canada has a lot of snow, they just seem to be able to cope with it. Whereas, and certainly in the southeast, Scotland isn't so bad for it. If you get snow in Scotland, we just crack on. But down here, if you get half an inch of snow, the whole country grinds so hot. No planes will move, no cars can drive, and it's just a nightmare. So I'm really pleased to see the back of the snow, and I'm hoping there'll be no more.
They're all afraid that if they move in that kind of weather, they're going to slip and fall into a muddy ditch.
Indeed, and they don't have their turnout rugs on, so yeah.
That's right.
I think you're right.
Now, what is this about discounts on Horse and Country videos?
So if you have an iPad, if you're lucky enough to own one, you can now purchase lots of our programs online and download them straight to your iPhone or iPad via a Horse Hub app. And Horse Hub, I don't know if you've spoken about it on the show before, but it was created in association with Paul Tapner, the famous event rider, and basically it's this whole hub of information and videos and articles about the horse world that you can download to your phone or tablet. And we have plenty of programs on there, and there's a bit of a January sale. So if you head to horseandcountry.tv, it will come up on the homepage, and you can see all the different programs that we have up for sale at the moment, including our brand new documentary about Carl and Charlotte called Golden Year, which is for a bargain price of $5.99. I'm not sure what that is in dollars. It's very
good. $1,000.
It's $1,000 here. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. But
you must have loved it when you came over here with the exchange rates. You probably did pretty well when you did your trip to the United States dollar wise.
It wasn't too bad. I think it wasn't quite the halcyon days of $2 to the pound, which it was a few years back. So, yeah, we did okay, though. I did some shopping.
Now, you know, what's been happening, there's been a trend of helmet cams have gotten cheaper and cheaper and become more available. There's been this trend where everybody that wears a hat or a helmet is now putting a camera on their head. And apparently Carl Hester is no exception.
Indeed. Well, when he was filming for that documentary I just mentioned, Golden Year, we got Carl to wear this GoPro camera on his head. And we've actually made an extended web clip of him riding. And it's quite amazing because you can see his Olympic horse Utopia, and you can see his ears and him paying attention. And then Carl will look at the arena mirrors and admire his beautiful position and his stunning horse. And so it's quite funny watching. It's like a little bird's eye view of what it's like to ride an Olympic dressage horse.
Yeah, you don't often see him. I mean, we've seen him on cross country. We've seen him on marathon with the carriages. And, you know, you don't often see him with dressage.
Yes, indeed. And I think if you go onto the page, the first thing you see is just the tips of Utopia's ears in that whole big arena. And that's what I'm going to remember, that Carl Hester looks up and forwards and not down at his hands, which is my worst habit, staring down at my hands and fiddling instead of looking around and enjoying my surroundings. I've been told that many a time.
Wait, once you get into that habit or any habit like that, it's tough to break it, isn't it?
It is. I'm just so full of bad habits, and I'm teaching them all to my lovely young horse. So I think it's time for some intensive lessons, perhaps.
Well, that's terrific. And, of course, where can everybody see your videos and from here in the United States?
head to our website, and it's horseandcountry.tv. And if you head to the video section, there's about 1,400 free video clips on there, as well as all our available downloads on Horse Hub as well. So do head along and have a look.
Now, is there a membership site as well? We don't often talk about that, but...
There isn't. All our videos that are up there are free to air, but most of our full-length programs will now only be available on DVD or on Horse Hub for the foreseeable future. So, no membership sites at the moment. And we do also have lots of ways of users sending us their videos and things. So don't just automatically go to YouTube and pile them in there where they get lost in the millions of videos of musical cats or whatever they have on YouTube. Come and send them to our website instead, and then you can admire nothing but horsey and dog videos and nothing else.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Victoria, for joining us again this week from England. We really appreciate it. We hope you warm up, and that and remember, keep your head up.
I will. Look forward.
All right.
See you next week.
We'll see you, Victoria. That's funny. I'm glad I don't have any bad habits.
No, you don't have any bad habits.
No, none. No, you don't either. No, we're perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. That's an English thing. We'll let Victoria have all the bad habits. Hey, we're going to take a break. If you didn't hear earlier in the show, Jamie has the flu. She is out. So we hope that she'll be back on Friday. I don't think I've heard from her yet this morning either. So I think she's probably trying to sleep it off. And, of course, she's pregnant, so that always just complicates things in your state.
Wait a minute. Let's stop right here. Let's go back a little ways, because
we
as humans have a propensity to associate the most recent happenings with the current issue. You got a text that says, I have the flu, might not make it to the show, which is what immediately happened before she didn't make it to the show. But let's go back a few days. What happened before the text? A trip to Las Vegas.
She was supposed to be in Vegas, but we don't know whether she actually made the trip or not.
A trip to Las Vegas, followed by, I can't make it to work.
But the one thing we do know is she's not allowed to drink, and she was taking that very seriously, so we can't say she was hungover. Yeah, she's taking that one pretty seriously, and it's upsetting her, too. She can't wait to have this baby, I think. So... Well, let's take a break for a commercial from Fleeceworks, who we also got to see over the weekend at Ada. Judy was there. It was nice to visit with them.
I already got to talk to her.
And, you know, she had a saddle pad. You were buying a saddle pad from her, and we forgot to get it. She was so busy, we didn't have any time to get it from her before we left, so she's going to have to ship it to you.
Yeah. I need it by the end of the month. Come on, people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We love her pads, and so much so that we buy them. Well,
I sit on her sheepskin every day.
Every day, and Jamie does too. Not today, though. She's in bed. So it's time for Fleeceworks, and we'll be. And our song of the day is "Life on Planet Cowgirl."
Fleeceworks manufactures pure Australian merino sheepskin and merino wool saddle pads and accessories. Their pads produce a vital thermal balancing layer to pull excess moisture and heat away from the horse's back, allowing muscles to work at maximum capacity without overheating. Fleeceworks Australian Merino wool is breathable and hydrophilic, able to hold and store 35% of its own weight in liquid. A longtime staple of the medical field, Australian Merino fibers have no equal when it comes to delivering a temperature-controlled, pressure-absorbing layer. The Fleeceworks philosophy, minimum bulk, maximum performance. And they have a variety of anatomically correct pads incorporating technologies and designs that address the individual needs of every horse and rider. Ask for Fleeceworks saddle pads and accessories by name at your local tack and feed store, or visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
Dreaming big. Working hard and having faith, making sure you make the most of every breath you take, and knowing that today ain't just another day going by. that just ain't how you ride. That's life on planet Cowgirl, and I'm grateful every day that I get to call. Bring on that horizon, shooting for the moon and stars. Heading down the trail, let's travel even though it might be a long and winding rocky road. You ain't scared at all, 'cause deep inside you know your heart. That's life on planet. I'm grateful every day that I get to call.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson, Life on Planet Cowgirl. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Coach Jen. Jamie is out sick today. She's got the flu. We're hoping that she'll be back on Friday. I want to repeat a couple things we went over earlier in the show. Get your ads in for really bad ads on Friday. The prize is a $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. So you can shop in there and get whatever you want from Equestrian Collections, a $25 gift certificate. That's what we'll be giving away. So get on Craigslist and get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. And also, in 2 weeks from today, on February the 13th, we're going to start something called the Wheel of Trivia. We bought ourselves a casino wheel, and there'll be different prizes on each slot of the wheel. And we're going to play a little game where you call in. We'll ask you a trivia question. If you answer correctly, we'll spin the wheel for you, and you'll win a prize. We have lots of terrific companies that over the weekend have committed to prizes, and it should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. That'll happen the first thing on Wednesdays every week.
Hey, Glenn.
Called the Wheel of Trivia. Yep.
Hey, Glenn. In the interest of full disclosure, it's not really a, quote, real wheel. It's really $14.95 from eBay, and it's cheesy and made of plastic, but it makes the wheelie noise and it does go around.
Yeah, it does go around, and we can put little things. You didn't have to tell anybody. They would have thought we spent thousands of dollars on a casino wheel.
It's not really a casino wheel. It's made out of the lid from a Tupperware bowl, a couple of toothpicks, a ruler, and some duct tape.
No, we actually did buy it. It's an official casino wheel. I bought it from Harris Casino in Atlantic City. They had extras lying around. And I sent for it. Bought it on eBay. Actually, we bought it on Craigslist. It was a really bad ad. And we
they called it a casino wheel when, in fact, it's made out of Tupperware rulers and duct tape.
That's right. So that's coming up. We're going to start that in a couple of weeks. So keep your Wednesday mornings open to give us a call and play the Wheel of Trivia. That should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to getting that started. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to have Dr. Jones back, it looks like, for the Horse.com segment.
Yay, Dr. Jones is back.
And Michelle will be here, as she is every week. Well, let's get Michelle on and see what's going on. We have a little bit of time to kill here before we can get Dr. Jones on the phone. And Jamie's out sick today, Michelle, so you and I can chat for a little. Oh,
are you talking to me?
I don't think she's... yes, we're talking to you. I caught you off guard, didn't I?
I was shooing a corgi. Yeah, I was shooing a corgi out of my office. You were on speakerphone.
Well, Jamie's
good morning.
Out sick. Yeah, good morning. Jamie's out sick today, and we're here just chatting away. And I thought, well, I'll bring Michelle into the conversation while we're waiting for Dr. Jones. So
okay,
what's up?
In my part of the world, we are very, very busy at thehorse.com. We have a live event tomorrow night. It's about foaling and newborns.
Okay.
We have Dr. Mary Rose Paradis and Dr. Carlos Gradil, and they'll be talking about that kind of the labor through first hours of foal's life. We're getting tons of really great questions. I've been going through those this morning. It's hard to pick because people ask such really great, great questions. And then next week we have a webcast that we're doing about stem cells to treat orthopedic injuries. And we have Dr. Ross Rich from Cave Creek, Arizona. And he did this great presentation that we'll be running, and then you'll get to ask him questions live via chat during the event. And he has 8 years of experience using stem cells, so he's going to be presenting case studies. So really another great one. And then we have a bunch of new fact sheets updates. It's like it's the beginning of the year, Glenn. Lots of stuff going on.
It's almost as if it's January.
Funny how that works.
So, yeah, tons of stuff going on. Lots of...
You know what I'm doing? You know what I am going to miss about living in Lexington, Kentucky is March. When you live in Lexington, Kentucky in March and you drive around all the beautiful horse farms, you see tons of babies. I'm going to miss seeing all the babies.
Yeah, and our news editor, Erica Larson, she just did a blog post about all the babies living in Lexington and getting to see all of them. She does our senior horse blog, and she was talking about older mares and their babies and how driving around Lexington, occasionally you'll see all these spry, beautiful young brood mares, and then you'll see the ancient brood mare with her baby out there, the very experienced brood mare. So, I'm out here in Oregon, but it sure is fun to get back there to the office and see all the babies in the early spring.
Yeah, I know. We are going to miss that. We had a couple of people ask us over the weekend, do you miss stuff, about living in Lexington? And that's, I think Jennifer would agree with that. That's one of the things we miss a lot, that baby thing. It's so
cute. You're not missing their weather right now, though. So.
No, they just had wicked thunderstorms this morning.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Yeah, they had ice last week. I know they were all very, very cold. So I'm cold all the time. I'm in the high desert. So.
And you don't even get to enjoy the snow.
it's cold. We have a little bit of snow. You just go up in the mountains just a little bit. We go snowshoeing quite a bit and skiing and all that. So we're close. But it's funny. You ask what we're up to, and I filled you in on work. But what I really was going to fill you in on was my own horses. I had to stop
myself. What's going on with that? That's what we care about. Who cares about that other stuff?
I know, the work part. My horse is lame right now. I'm really disappointed. I've been fighting some soundness stuff. You know, I think his hocks are bothering him a little bit, so I need to put a call into my own vet. and get that checked out. So,
no riding? So you haven't been riding at all?
I haven't been riding. I've been giving him this last week off.
You know,
still tell the trainer,
Michelle?
But I'd been working on our changes, and I think maybe the flying changes brought out some soreness in his hocks.
That means you need to get a second horse, Michelle.
I have a second
horse.
You don't want
to lose any training time.
That's right.
Oh, how many horses can we have, Jeff?
Never enough. There's never enough, Michelle.
I don't know. I'm the one who writes that check for the hay. And the farrier.
Your hay, we discovered, is as expensive as ours. So, you know, we're still paying for coastal down here. We're still paying, I think, 7.25 for the really cheap stuff. And then when you get into the Timothy mixes, we're paying anywhere from $12 to $20 a bale.
Yeah, I buy by the ton. I don't even know what my per bale cost is, but I pay about $2.50 per ton for grass. It adds up quick, but those horses need to eat.
That's right, they do. And unfortunately, there's a lot of them that aren't being fed, as we see by the news every day.
Yeah. But, you know, I just went through this kind of crisis, and I blogged about it a couple weeks ago, where I had this fantasy about moving into town and leaving behind country life and getting a condo because it's been 20 degrees out, and I don't have an indoor arena, and I never get to ride, and I'm out there feeding and breaking ice. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great to live downtown right by a coffee shop? You know, our town is right on the river, so you walk right out your door, and people go fly fishing or kayaking, you know, from their condos downtown or their little houses. So anyway, I started looking at board costs for the barns that I'd like to keep my horse at, and I think we'll be staying where we're at.
Funny how that makes you change your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, I started going, But I did move my dressage horse Marathon to a barn that's just 3 minutes down the road that they have a little indoor. It's a small barn. My husband convinced me that a couple months of board would be better than picking up and completely moving and selling our place, and I was ready to go. Like, I was ready to pack boxes.
And then the voice of reason goes and shows up. Gee.
I know. He's like, okay, no.
And this is really
backwards. Do you ever do that, though? Do you ever go like, man, I could just let someone else do all this work, and I could get a houseboat?
We did. Actually, when we moved to Lexington, we boarded the horse, and somebody else did all the work, and kind of like that. Although Jennifer really liked – it's different, too. If you have your own horses and you have one or two – we always had big barns with 25 horses in it and boarders and all that stuff. It's different when you have one or two in your backyard as opposed to 10 or 20. You know, the amount of work is definitely a lot less. But, yeah, we lived closer to town. I miss being closer to stuff. Like, we lived a mile from restaurants and the grocery store and all of that when we lived in Lexington. Now we're 20 minutes to the grocery store. And that makes a big difference. It really does.
It does, yeah. And I'm about 10 minutes from Costco, but 20 minutes from downtown. Do you guys have Costcos in Florida?
Yes.
Okay, so Costco is very important, especially when you live out in the country. But you have to go to Costco, get all of the paper towels that you need and for the year and stock up. But,
I was gonna say,
it's 20 minutes downtown.
Stuff at Costco. You would have storage rooms full of stuff.
I know. Well, if I lived in town, I could just walk to the little grocery on the corner and get things at the last minute instead of going like, okay, well, I have to make this whole plan to get into town. But, you know, it is great being really close to restaurants. But then again, you know, 20 minutes isn't that much of my life. And I think about people who live in Southern California, and they spend hours just going a couple miles, where I'm going, you know, 10 miles in 10 minutes. So it's not that bad.
That is true. And
yeah,
I think,
maybe
Dr.
I just need a nicer car. But,
that's
I have two horses.
You need a sports car. Hey, Jennifer, what's the scoop with Dr. Jones? Is she tied up?
She is on the phone with a client, and we will be with her in about 3 minutes.
Okay, good. I think Michelle and I could probably talk for another 3 minutes. We're pretty good at that.
Fill the air.
So,
yeah.
So it sounds, Michelle, like you are in agreement that 50 miles on an open interstate is preferable to 3 miles in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Oh, goodness, yes. Yeah, because it's all relative. It's not about the actual time. It's about the speed at which you're covering ground.
Yes, it's the frustration factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, and I feel very fortunate. And you do, when you live in a small community like ours, you sometimes forget what the rest of the world is like, because we're very insulated. You know, we're in the middle of the state. We're 3 hours from everything else. And then you go into the city and you're like, oh, I forgot. This is what traffic's like. So.
That is true. We don't run into traffic too much here in Ocala. We actually didn't have it too bad in Lexington, but we lived in Plymouth, Massachusetts, outside of Boston, just south of Boston along the coast. And when we lived in Massachusetts, that was the worst traffic I have ever seen. It was just – Jennifer spent one day coming home from work. What was it, 10 miles, Jennifer?
Yep.
It had just started snowing, and what happened was everybody decided to let their business close their businesses at noontime. It took you, what, 10 hours to get home, was it?
It was 8 hours and 10 miles.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh. Oh.
Welcome to Boston. In Boston, it's really strange, too. It's the only place I've ever been where on the four-lane major highway or three-lane major highway, they open up the shoulder for rush hours. So you have people passing you at 80 miles an hour on the shoulder. And it's the strangest thing. So when you want to get off, you actually have to make sure that there's nobody coming up on the shoulder as you're exiting.
You have to merge into the fast lane. And
it is.
But there is a weird road in Lexington that completely threw me off. I was going to the Gluck Center there at UK. And
yeah.
There's a road that, like, the lanes change direction depending on the time of day.
Yes. The college road there, that road
yes.
that goes into the college.
Yeah, I was going to the Gluck Center to work on some videos for thehorse.com, and I was like, I'm not sure what lane I'm supposed to be in because this was different last time I was here.
Well, and they have above the road, all along there, they have little arrows, and you'll get a green arrow if the lane's open that direction or a red X, and you really have to pay attention to that because it can change while you're driving down the road. So
And when you fly in, like, someone should give you a pamphlet letting you know to
yes.
expect this. Because if you don't expect it, because we don't have that out west. I've never been on a road quite like that.
Are you making the trip, speaking of Lexington, are you making the trip in for Rolex this year?
You know, I haven't planned that far ahead. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there for Rolex or not. But I have some other trips planned. I'm going to go over to Portland, close to home, and do a series of videos for our audience. So that's my next big trip. I traveled a bunch for the horse the end of fall and winter, and so it's kind of nice to have a stretch in my home office getting all this other stuff done that we're putting up on the website.
Well, it looks like Jennifer is getting Dr. Jones on the line. It looks like she might be done with her previous call. That's one issue you always have with veterinarians when you're trying to get them to commit to something like this, as emergencies do come up. And we've missed Dr. Jones. She hasn't been on for probably over a month.
I know, since before Christmas. I think AAEP was the last time that she was able to join us. So she's had a busy beginning of the year as well.
Well, here in Florida, the weather doesn't stop you too much.
No, yeah.
You know, it's 85 degrees and sunny. So.
Yeah, well, in the winter is when everyone moves down there with their horses.
Right. There's actually more horses here, and she's probably busier now because of that. Well, we'll ask her in just a minute, but let me give you – oh, let me see. Do I have it here? Yep, I do.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. It's time for thehorse.com and the weekly horse health report. We have Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com, and we have Dr. Jones back with us. Welcome, Dr. Jones. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Happy New Year to everybody.
We thought we said something that offended you and you weren't going to come back anymore.
No, I had obligations to teach a student. I get a student from the University of Florida for their clinical rotation, and those obligations were kind of in the way this time. Sorry about that.
Well, no problem. Let's have the student on doing it next time. We'll just torture her instead.
We have to be nice to the vet students.
Those vet students, I swear, they're shaking in their shoes when they come ride because they know I give them a grade, and they just look terrified. And they do great jobs, but they just look terrified, the poor things.
Maybe it's your intimidating demeanor.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Did you, with having your student there, did you have anything exciting that your student got to see that you were glad that happened while they were riding along?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any of the emergencies the students love, because usually the emergencies they see at the universities are like on death's door or, you know, absolute disaster cases in that respect. So any of the emergencies are great for them to see because they all live, you know. More times than not, emergencies for an ambulatory vet live, as opposed to the ones at the university, which are on death's door. By the time they get there, they usually die. So, no, all the emergencies are great because she was able to see that you don't have to have such a doom and gloom life.
Well, that's good. Yeah, no. No, there is some happiness to your job.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, the highlight for all the students, which I've had, you know, numerous ones in the past, and I was able to juggle the show either around them or you happen to have somebody in that week when I had the students, they've all been able to do a castration. It all just seems to have fallen into their weeks, and that they love doing the castrations. Sorry, Glenn, but they love doing those castrations.
Terrific.
Well, this week I wanted to talk about how to keep your vet safe when they're handling or taking care of your horse. And I'm sure with your students around, you talked about safety and body care when they were riding along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so happy you've brought this topic up because that is something we think about. Sometimes we don't, but you should think about as a veterinarian almost on a day-to-day basis is, am I going to come home in one piece today? So,
well, and it really is a matter of life and death.
It is. It is.
Be.
I mean, one mistake is all it takes. And as I've told my staff numerous times over, if I am sick, I am not on my game, and that's when I'm going to get hurt. You know, if I'm distracted because I got a family member that's ill, I'm not going to be on my game, you know, and I'm going to get hurt. So I always warn my staff members, today's not a good day, I don't feel good, or I'm distracted, or whatever. So those kind of things can play into that.
Wait a minute. So on those days, do they wrap you in bubble wrap? Is that what happens?
No, we get through those days, but I try not to get sick very often. How's that?
Okay, all right.
Well,
and thank God, knock on wood, my mom and dad are still alive and very, very healthy, and you know, my husband's healthy and my son's healthy, so I'm just knock on wood on that.
Well, I have to say my own vet said he would much rather be on the kicking end of a horse than a kicking end of a cat, so I don't know.
Oh, I can agree with that, and probably not on the kicking end of a human because I've heard those stories too, so yeah.
Yeah.
I've been fine. Yeah, one of my clients this week told me about how her daughter passed out, who's a nurse, passed out when they took blood. She couldn't figure out why she was so long in the room while she was out in the waiting room waiting for her, and it's because she had passed out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but she can take blood all day from somebody but can't have somebody take blood from her. And then she told me about her daughter who would claw her way out of the room when they went to give a flu vaccine to her when she was young. And she's like, I said, you know what, I don't think I'd want to be on the end of that because them clawing out of the room or kicking you as you're trying to get out of the room, forget it.
No. So with our horses, what kind of training would you like to have horses receive before you show up to take care of them?
Oh, can I turn this back around on Glenn and say, Glenn, what do you think is the most important thing a horse should be trained to do?
Well, first of all, halter broke helps.
Beautiful. My goodness. I don't know how many times I walk up. They're standing out in the pasture with their halters on, and they're standing there pausing, waiting for me to start my appointment, and I'll look at them and say, do you have a halter? Oh, yeah, that's right. And then they go get the halters.
How many of them expect you to actually go out in the field and get the horse?
I can't say if they're expecting me to go out and do that or if they expect me to treat the animal without the halter. And I can't figure those people out yet, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
Or if they're just having a blonde moment. Oh, did I say that out loud? If they're just having a moment of lapse of memory that they should get the halter on the horse, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're saying halter broke, though, what is it that you want the horse to do? I mean, it's one thing to get a halter on a horse, but how do you want the horse to behave once it's haltered?
Yeah, after all these years, I've learned that when I tell people to halter break their babies, they are so proud when I go out there to start their vaccination program for the babies. They're like, look, I got a halter on them. I'm like, can you get it off and back on? Can you get it off and back on? And get it off, back on. They're like, oh, no, we haven't done that yet. Can they lead with that halter on? Oh, no, we haven't done that yet. But they're wearing the halter. So being able to lead, being able to respect the halter and the lead rope or a chain if that's necessary. So that means if you, you know, pull down on the lead rope, just a gentle tug on it to say, you know, whoa or stop or whatever, that they respect that. They don't keep plowing over the top of you and myself. And then, of course, the big thing is not being in your space, which a lot of the young ones love that. They kind of climb into your space and kind of dominate you where you need to be respected. And
have you actually had horses that you just couldn't work on them? You were like, okay, this horse, I just can't get near this horse.
Yeah, we eventually get the job done, though. We haven't, I don't think there's ever been a place where I have left that we couldn't do because either they'd rope them and snub them up to a post, and that was back in the days when I was younger and dumber. And I did have a gentleman, though, tell me at one appointment, it was very interesting, I was out for an emergency. He was the next-door neighbor, came over, as all neighbors do during emergencies. They come over and watch what goes on. And he pointed a few pastures over and said, I need you to castrate my horse. I can't catch him. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, sir, when you can catch him and put a halter on him, you give me a call. I'm not sure really what he wanted me to do with that comment.
Yeah,
but
you had a little gun that was going to do it for you. Just, you know, your horse is castrated, you know.
Yeah, I'm just not really sure where he was going with that, but I never heard from him again. I'm kind of glad.
No, and the horse is still not.
Well, I hope the horse got castrated.
I do too.
So the horse can lead, you can catch it, it should be caught before you get there.
That's a good one. I don't see that happening very often. But, yeah, I mean, I realize veterinarians are late, but my staff is really good about updating on time and saying if we're running late or if we're actually running early, that would be a joke. But, you know, just giving them an ETA of when we're coming, and we're pretty good about giving you within an hour's time period so the horses aren't standing there with halters tied for hours and hours and hours. So that would be really nice to have them ready to go because we factor in what we do at that appointment. We don't factor in catching the horse, which can take an extra 10 minutes sometimes, up to 30 minutes to catch the horse, you know. So, and if you've got stalls, why not have them hang out in the stall for 20 minutes? You know, there might be one pile of poop in there, but that's about it.
Well, so when you're actually examining the horse, sometimes you're poking and prodding. What kind of things can the owner prep the horse for before or train for before you're there taking
the
temperature?
So, yeah, I think the next step after being halter broke would be that you can touch them about anywhere. So, what you know, I'm referring to babies because those are always the easiest one to refer to, but you can get rescue horses that have had very little touch or maybe have been mishandled. So they need to know halter. They need to know what the halter is, respect your space, be able to lead with it, be able to be reprimanded with the lead rope of, you know, stand still. And standing still is the huge thing because you get them dancing in a circle, dancing in a circle. But being able to be touched anywhere, that means touching on the bottom of their belly and not kicking at you, taking their temperature, which we take via rectum. So being able to take your fingers, yes, it's poop back there, but, you know, touch around the anus, and they're okay with that. You can even take their temperatures and practice that because it's good to know your horse's normal temperature anyway. Fingers, hands in the mouth, of course, don't get bit, but they don't head up when you go touch in their mouth. We've got horses that are very bad about having their mouth touched. I don't know how these people get bridles on them, but, you know, they don't want their face touched. Picking up
That's
their feet
the reason they don't want their mouth touched.
I'm sorry?
Because they don't want the bridle.
They don't want their mouth touched, Dr. Jones. You're looking at that backwards. It's because they think something good in there. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. And it could be something's bothering them from the bridle, the bit you're using, or maybe it was a previous, you know, if it's a rescue case, it's a previous deal. Picking up the feet. The farrier would love you if you picked up the feet every day on your horse that had a problem with picking the feet up. You got to do it every day, and you hold it. You pick their feet out. I don't care if the feet are clean. Pick it up and hold it. Pick it up and hold it. Private areas, if it's a baby and we're going to castrate them, we're going to make sure there's two testicles there. touch their testicles, you know, manipulate that area. Girls in the back end, we need to be able to take a look, you know, around the vulva area, and you can actually see the pink on the inside, let you know what their mucous membranes look like. So, I mean, all that stuff. Fingers in the ears, fingers, you know, around the eyes, around it, just anything.
And you mentioned horses dancing around when you're examining them, and I have a horse that I can vaccinate him and he's fine, but my vet shows up and my vet's very nice to him, but after doing the Stringles vaccine up the nose, nasal, he sees my vet and he turns into a wild monkey. Do you have any suggestions for keeping my vet safe when I'm handling my horse and he sees my vet and loses his mind?
Yeah, and that can happen. I have now tried to make it as best policy as I can, that if I'm going to do intranasal, I do it when they're sedate, which I think that discussion once before, is you do their teeth once a year, the strangles is once a year. Do it at the same time. That's a perfect time to do it. So introduce your horse to that when they're sedate, and then there's no bad memory. But I've got a few that do the same thing. You're supposed to be on the same side as the worker. That includes your farrier. That includes somebody taking a temperature for you or you taking the temperature. Your handler should always be on the same side as you, because if the horse is going to react and try to bolt, you want to make sure they bolt in a circle that circles you too and their butt doesn't swing out and kick somebody as they're circling. Mm-hmm. So if I'm opposite of you to take the temperature and you're on the opposite side of the head and the horse bolts, you're going to pull the horse's head towards you. Next thing I know, I've got back feet in my face. And that's very, very dangerous. So that's one thing that you need to know from the get-go, is that when people are working on your horse, and that means a massage therapist even, or your farrier, is be on the same side. Now, granted, you can't be on the same side when they're doing the front feet sometimes, so you might step to the opposite side. But in your situation, Michelle, you could step to the opposite side and touch the shoulder while they're approaching the horse to keep them from dancing away from the horse. The only thing, though, is now you're in a predicament that if something happens, the horse bolts, you're both on either side and somebody could get hurt. But that's usually what we do. Or we'll use a wall where they just keep dancing, they come up against a wall like in the stall. The other thing we've done, and it may go against the grain of a lot of trainers, but for us, we get our job done. It ends up being a very good experience for us. And we can start to do it less and less, is we'll feed them grain while we're sticking them.
Mm-hmm.
So Kim goes in first, my assistant, who has a very good way with horses. She's talking the horse. She's getting, you know, them calmed down. The client comes with a bucket of grain. I approach the stall or the hallway or the wash rack or whatever it is to do the vaccination. And by this time, they're eyeing me. They're watching me. They know I'm there. They know I've got a needle, because that's all I've ever done to them is vaccinate them, nothing else, and they don't like it. But I walk up to do it in their neck, of course, not their rear end, because I don't want to get hurt, and they're eating away. As soon as they're taking a good bite of food, I stick them. We've had to use less and less food on some of those horses to the point that the horse doesn't allows us to do it now without moving.
Mm-hmm.
It will take a while, but it does work.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your assistant. So for you, when is an owner actually detrimental to the safety of you and the horse, and when do you use your own assistant to step in?
Well, unfortunately, in this wonderful litigious society, meaning sue happy people, there are cases where veterinarians have been sued because the owner got hurt by their own horse when a procedure was done on them, whether it was an examination, a sedation, a vaccine, or something to that effect. So using my assistant should be all the time, but she is not with me on the weekends for emergencies, and there's times where I have to have the client hold the horse.
So
and
is it a good indication when you walk into the barn and there's two empty six-packs, is that the point where your assistant steps in?
Well, you know, they probably won't get hurt very easily because they'll just crumple to the ground and, you know, fold up and they'll probably be fine. But, actually it's the spoiled horse. It's the one,
yeah.
It's the very high-energy client who makes me nervous as bad as they are, makes the horse nervous, and they're very, very high energy, and this horse feeds off of that, and they get really anxious as well. Those are nice to have step away, and they've spoiled the horse where they're running over top, they never respect their space, they don't listen to them. Those are kind of the horses that you worry about the most.
So when you don't have someone to help you out, if you are a nervous owner or handler, what suggestions or what would you wish them to do instead? Take some deep breaths.
Yeah. Yeah, take some deep breaths. Sometimes I'll just have them feed a horse. Even if it's a colic, they're usually pretty depressed, and there's no reason, you know, for us to have to do anything, because I had one the other day. He was bad for needles. The client was very anxious, and I didn't have my assistant, and the horse was choking, and I was able to get a needle in him. He didn't even know what was going on because he was in such pain and depression from the choking, you know, that he had no idea that I was standing there sticking needles in his neck to sedate him. So I got sedation in him right off the bat after I did a quick exam. And then I went back to my exam after I sedated him to take a little more time, because then I know he'd stand still, you know, tell the clients to relax, that kind of thing. A lot of times if you can have maybe their best friend who's horse savvy that's there to help them, because a lot of times they'll have their friends or their neighbors come over, you can have somebody else hang on to the horse, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But, yeah, those are the times you're going to have some issues. And I'll have to point this out. This was actually a case that we read about, because we get newsletters on lawsuits for horses, and a lot of times it's for, you know, this or that. And it's malpractice, meaning that if something was purposely done wrong for your horse, and it was, you know, in the wrong practice of your horse, that's why we have that insurance. Accidents do happen in life, unfortunately, but there was a case where a gentleman was looking at a horse, went back to his truck to pull up meds, and the horse reared up and kicked the girlfriend's friend in the face. The girlfriend's friend sued the vet for her facial surgeries and such.
And he wasn't even near the horse at the point.
Exactly. He was at the truck.
Still.
So, you know, if you have a horse that's anxious, the veterinarian's there, they may be getting more anxious, just keep everybody away. And there was no reason the veterinarian caused any pain to this horse at his truck. So these are the types of things that us veterinarians now have to start worrying about, is that clients will possibly sue us for getting hurt. And so a lot of us will have assistants. I've had some clients insist that my assistant doesn't hold the horse, and we tell them, no, she will hold the horse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's because of these reasons. I don't need to have any legal headaches.
I bet you want to tranquilize the clients as much as you do the horses.
I'm sorry?
You want to tranquilize the clients as much as the horses sometimes?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're very anxious. This is a baby. They're getting sick, and they hurt or whatever it is. The emergency is. So, yeah, I think some of them probably could do with a little Valium when we get there because they're just as anxious. And I bet you any money any ER doctor would say the same thing.
I bet you do, yeah.
Well, stay safe, Dr. Jones.
Thank you. Thank you. And really, it's just getting your horse used to anything and everything. They're not too old to learn. They can. It just takes longer. And the needle-shy horses we have in our practice, we note them in our record. We make sure that there's always two people help. You know, my assistant's always on that day. If she's taking vacation, we reschedule it to a different day. And as long as it's just a regular appointment. But those horses over time can get over their fear with some good repetition, and the client can pinch the skin and reward them for standing still and all sorts of slap the neck and, you know, that those kind of things and reward them. So there's ways to get around them, and you don't need to hogtie these horses, you know, and getting their personal space and offend them too. So, but yeah, getting your horse used to ancillary things for the farrier and the vet will help out them and make people happy to come to your place.
Yeah, you want to be the place a vet wants to come. I always make cookies.
Oh, my God. Can I come to your place?
Brownies.
I'm coming to your place.
Brownies and long conversations. My farrier said that he adds a half an hour to my farrier appointment so that we can gab. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Dr. Jones, how can people find you? What's your website?
Florida spelled out. FloridaEquine.com, and we're on Facebook with Florida Equine Veterinary Service, without the S.
And before we let you go, I noticed that you posted on Monday, we were at the ADA trade show over the weekend, and we found our pick of the weekend, and you said, really? Yes, there really is a product called Winky Wash. Yes, there is.
Really?
A brand new product to the market. So I just thought I'd let you know, yes, that did say Winky Wash, and yes, it is for washing the Winky. Yes.
And I did hear it made your hands soft, so that's
yes,
interesting.
Yes, it's nice stuff, Winky Wash. Yep, you ought to try it. I'll send you
okay.
some.
Okay. Well, I might turn my clients on to it.
All right, Michelle.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. It's thehorse.com and floridaecline.com. Thank you both for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank
Bye.
You. Everyone stay safe.
I had to get the slug in for Winky Wash there at the end.
Yeah. You know, the skin there. Pinching technique was very interesting. I'm gonna spread the word on that one. That's a good idea, because how do you get your horse to be less reactive when you give them a shot? You're not going to practice giving them shots.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But the skin pinching, that's a good idea. I like that.
Yep. And you know, just generally working with them. I think that a lot of these horses are out in fields and they just don't get worked with. And, you know, that's where the big problem comes in. Although we had that Hackney that I played with every day, and he still stood up on his hind feet every time a farrier or a vet came. So,
well, he did the same thing when you took him out to the paddock every day, for goodness sake. He just thought he was a centaur or something.
Yeah, or he had a rough life before that, too, the way he was treated. So you couldn't really get mad at him because he was 12 hands.
And he was so cute when he did it.
I know, he's so cute, little face and everything, and a little tiny paw, a little tiny hooves. Yeah, he's cute. All right, that's it for today. We'll be back on Friday. Hopefully, Jamie will be here. Let's all pray that she gets over her sickness, and she'll be back. Don't forget Really Bad Ads. Get yours in to Jennifer, $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. Thank you, Jennifer, for filling in. Really appreciate it. It sure beats me talking to myself for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it does, really.
And don't forget Jennifer's show, Horse Tip Daily. Check it out, horsetipdaily.com. There's over 700 episodes over there now, little short tips every day, 5, 10, 15 minutes. I think you'll enjoy those. You can go back and listen to all the past ones as well. Everything from training to horse care to photography to barn care, everything over there at Horse Tip Daily. Thank you, everybody. As Jamie would say, stay, dinner, and go. Talk to you on Friday.